shows and no shows?
Yep.
All right, let's take a 10-minute break so I can get coffee and try to wake up. So it's 10:57, we'll come back on. Colonel Overturf is chipping us a minute of our break. So it's 11:06. Case number 5. 22-791. That is a state case. Identify yourself for the record and your witness as well.
Yep. Detective Mike Evangelisti, E-V-A-N-G-E-L-I-S-T-I, and I'm the attorney representing the commissioner in this hearing. And this is Detective, I'll let you pronounce and spell your last name.
Thank you, sir. Carl Mordashevitz, M-O-R-D-A-S-I-E-W-I-C-Z with the New Britain Police Department.
Thank you, Detective. All right, counsel, would you like to make an opening statement?
Please. We're here today because the appellant's pistol permit was revoked based on suitability grounds. We intend to show that the appellant, along with the second appellant, assaulted and threatened a lone individual while both appellants displayed firearms outside of a bar during a confrontation that they initiated.
Thank you. Sir, would you like to make a brief opening statement?
Yes, please. So when everything was read out, I actually did not brandish my firearm, and since that situation, I am in the Connecticut National Guard. I'm about 4 years in. I recently just got promoted to sergeant. In that time frame, since that incident to now, I've received the Army Accommodation Medal, the Army Achievement Medal, and a one-star coin from a general. I'm also the Holistic Health and Fitness Integrator within my unit, recently graduated. Since that time, I've also started therapy just because of mental readiness and a lot that goes on being in the military. I'm in my senior year at Central Connecticut State for construction management. I've also secured a job with the Department of Transportation as a transportation engineer trainee. So since that time frame to now, I have tried to better myself and found ways and try to improve myself from letting people influence me into situations that I was uncomfortable with but went ahead, to now where it is just, I'm trying to be a leader not only for me but for my soldiers and to better my future and just try to be as great as I can be.
Thank you. All right, counselor may proceed.
Detective, what's your current town of employment?
I work with the City of New Britain Police Department.
How long have you been a police officer?
For 23 years.
What's your current assignment?
I'm assigned to the Criminal Investigations Division.
And how long have you been there?
Been an investigator for 12 years.
Okay. Were you working as a detective in New Britain Police Department on or about November 7th of 2021?
I was.
Do you recall an incident involving an assault and threatening with a firearm on this date?
I do.
How did you become aware of the incident?
I was assigned an investigation the days after.
Okay. And how did the police department become aware of it?
The police department were called to a bar at Elmer's and reported of assault where one person had two people actually brandished firearms, and one of them pointed the firearm at the victim's head.
Okay, so after the initial investigation by responding officers, did you conduct a follow-up investigation?
I did.
Okay. And did you meet with the reported victim at all?
I did meet with the victim.
Okay. And where did you meet with the victim?
I met with the victim at the CCSU Police Department.
Okay. And what did they describe as the incident when you spoke to the victim?
The victim described that as he was leaving the bar, two people confronted him, approached him about a sexual assault investigation, and then proceeded to assault him. One of the assailants put a firearm to his head. The victim thought that he was going to be shot. Another assailant displayed that he had another firearm in his waistband. The victim recalled that he was assaulted. He lost his hat during the process, and that he fled from them, fearing that he was going to be shot by them, and he actually fled, took cover behind telephone poles as he retreated back to the bar.
Good, thank you. And did the victim state if he was with anybody else, or was he alone?
Victim was alone.
Okay. And were there any injuries observed and documented on the victim the night of the incident that maybe fellow officers and you later on saw?
Yes, when I was assigned investigation, I remember I retrieved video evidence and the victim clearly was uninjured when he left the bar. And then immediately after returning to the bar, he had a pronounced, very bleeding lip when he walked back into the bar that was captured on video from my recollection.
Okay, so you were able to view video footage from the bar?
Yes.
Okay, and do you remember what any of that video footage showed?
Yes, so the video footage that I obtained aided in identifying the name of the assailants. The video footage showed how one of the applicants was inside the bar with a firearm on him.
Would that be of this appellant or the second appellant?
The second appellant.
Okay.
The video showed how this appellant went to his vehicle and then removed the firearm from his vehicle and then went to confront the victim along with the other appellant.
When this appellant that's with us here today, when he removed the firearm from his vehicle, can you describe any of the actions they did? What did he do with the firearm? So he reached inside the car and pulled out the firearm, and then what?
I remember that the video showed that when he reached inside the firearm, he then went with the other appellant. I don't remember if he secured the firearm in his waistband at the time or if he still had it in his hand. Okay. When they proceeded to go after the victim who had crossed the street at that time.
Okay. With the video surveillance at Elmer's, was there any way to positively identify the involved parties?
Yes.
Okay. And how was that?
Elmer's has security cameras inside and outside their establishment. One of the cameras that they have inside when you enter also scans and records all the patrons' identification cards. So we use that footage that they had, and they do this through the normal course of business to identify the four people that accompanied the appellants into the bar that day. Their video cameras also captures parking lot footage, and the vehicle that is registered to the appellant is parked directly in front of the bar, and his license plate was captured on camera, and that led to his identification coupled with his identification that he provided at Elmer's. And I specifically remember that he did have a military ID that he showed as proof of age when he entered the establishment.
Okay. And did you apply for any search or arrest warrants afterwards?
I did.
Okay. Did you apply for a search warrant?
I did apply for a search warrant.
And where was that executed?
The search warrant was executed at the residence of the second appellant in Rocky Hill, Connecticut.
And what happened during that interaction?
We learned that the appellant had moved a few houses down the street. We located the appellant. We informed them of the investigation. The second appellant consented to a search of his house. We recovered clothing that he wore during the incident. We recovered a firearm that he had during.
You're talking about this appellant? Or
no, the second appellant.
Second.
So yeah, if you could just distinguish.
Okay.
I got confused too on which appellant's
yes.
Which.
Okay. Are we allowed to use the second appellant's name since he withdrew?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Okay.
Yeah.
So instead of saying second appellant, we'll utilize Rodriguez.
That would make things easier for us.
I apologize.
No, it's understood.
We could start.
No.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
So you did a search warrant at the other guy's house.
Rodriguez's house.
Okay.
Yes.
And this appellant wasn't there.
This appellant was not there.
Okay. Did you retrieve a firearm there?
I did.
And what condition was it in?
It was a loaded firearm. It was secured in a plastic bin. Like a Tupperware bin down in his basement.
Okay.
And again, was that at Rodriguez's?
Rodriguez's house. We're talking about Rodriguez. The person is not here today.
Yep. Yes.
Did he give any indication as to his involvement that night?
Rodriguez initially denied any involvement. He was very evasive. His story, however, varied. He admitted to being there with the appellant. But he claimed that they had just witnessed the fight and that he was not involved or did not recall any details specifically about the assault.
Did he say whether this appellant had a firearm with him that night?
I don't remember if you mentioned that.
Okay. And did he provide any contact information for this appellant?
Yes, he provided the appellant's phone number.
Okay. And did you contact this appellant?
I did that same night.
How did you contact him?
I contacted him through the phone number that Rodriguez provided to me.
All right, and did he want to meet in person or speak on the phone?
The appellant did not want to meet in person. He chose to speak with me over the phone. I verified who he was, and then I asked him specific questions about the incident.
Okay, and how did this appellant describe that night?
The appellant was very evasive at first. Admitted that he was there, claimed he didn't know anything about an altercation. I was providing the same type of response that Rodriguez had provided initially.
Okay, and what happened when you confronted him about the video evidence and everything else?
The appellant then admitted to his involvement. The appellant admitted to me that him and Rodriguez did confront the victim, that the appellant did retrieve his firearm from his vehicle. The appellant told me that he never withdrew his firearm, but he pulled his shirt against his body to display that he had a firearm to the victim, whereas Rodriguez pulled his firearm and pointed it at the victim's head. The appellant admitted that he and Rodriguez did assault the victim. The appellant admitted that the victim's hat was taken, that fell during the process, and that they discarded it later on when they fled the scene in the appellant's vehicle.
Did the appellant provide a written statement throughout this?
No, the appellant did not provide a written statement.
Did you apply for arrest warrants for both the appellant and Rodriguez?
I did.
And what was the result of that?
Both of them were charged with the appropriate charges. I believe would have been assault third, threatening the first degree.
Okay. And it was signed?
Yes.
Okay. That's it.
Sir, do you have any questions of the detective based on what he just testified to?
I have no question.
Does the board have questions?
If you recall, sir, at the time of the incident, did this appellant have a Connecticut pistol permit?
He did.
Okay. That's right, it's a revocation. And did you ever, was there ever a motive established regarding the incident?
Yes. The appellant and Rodriguez approached the victim because they believed that the victim was responsible for a unrelated sexual assault at CCSU. I contacted CCSU to see if there's any reports with the victim being identified as a suspect, but there were none. I checked our in-house records in New Britain if there was any reports of him being as a suspect in that assault, but there were none as well. So whatever information the appellant had about the victim being responsible for that type of assault, it was unsubstantiated by the New Britain Police Department and unsubstantiated by the Central Connecticut State University Police Department.
And if you recall, at the time, was this appellant a student at CCSU?
I believe he was, yes.
And did he have a residence at CCSU or did he live elsewhere, if you recall?
The address that I have for him was in Waterbury. It wasn't on a campus residence.
Thank you, sir.
Other questions by the board? Seeing none, counsel, do you have any other witnesses?
I do not.
Okay. Sir, it is your chance to tell us what you'd like us to know.
So, and regarding the situation on that night, we were with multiple people. And after we had left the club, the two other individuals wanted to use my vehicle to go to the gas station to grab something. And that's when I went ahead and I retrieved my firearm. I did place it on my waist and it was holstered. So I never actually pulled my weapon out. And as I mentioned, I do remember mentioning this part when I was on the phone with the detective. He asked if I ever showed it. I was like, no, I had a tight shirt, and at the time I was carrying a Glock 17, which is a full-size pistol. So I was like, it was possible that it was seen through my shirt because I had a tight shirt. I remember that not vaguely. I remember that perfectly when I mentioned that. When I was charged with just the assault in the third, but I was never convicted. I have no record, and everything was thrown away. And as I mentioned before, I do focus on, like, I talked to a therapist, mental resiliency, behavioral health within the National Guard. And since that situation and now, I spoke with my commander and at the time my prior first sergeant to go ahead and lead cruiser weapons, so which is like the heavy machine guns. So I am part of that crew that goes ahead and trains people. And I'm in the process of competing next year for the best warrior competition. So I do have to use pistols as well. And I'm getting a lot of familiarization, safety courses, and range time. So I do qualify Next month, I do have to qualify for the military again on the grenade launcher and on the M4A1. So I am always around firearms. I learned from my mistake to now. I let others influence my decisions, and I've taken every opportunity and every precaution I can to make sure that situations like that never present themselves, and I'm always aware of my surroundings, and I have the situation awareness going on.
Cross.
Please. Sir, do you remember, did you have your pistol permit for less than a year?
Yes.
Prior to being revoked? Okay. Do you remember about what time of year you got that pistol permit?
It was in the summer, because I was still activated, yes.
And this happened in November?
Correct.
Okay. And did you sell the firearm that Appellant 2 used, Rodriguez used, in the incident to him?
Yes, I gifted it to him as an early birthday present.
Okay. And did you have any reservations about his decision-making prior to selling him this firearm?
I had none.
Okay. And so what was your plan that evening, like even before going to the bar and driving the three other individuals there? Because you brought a firearm with you, a loaded firearm with you, and Rodriguez had a firearm with him. Were you guys planning to go to the bar that night?
So actually we were, so it was like kind of my birthday weekend.
Okay.
So we met at Rodriguez's house to just, you know, talk about it and then just have our friends there. So we brought it just, you know, just to like go, just hang out, talk, play video games.
Okay.
And then the other two individuals suggested we should go out. And since I had to drive back to Waterbury, and I had to drive someone else, I decided that I'll just put it in my glove box, which was locked
at
the time. So my glove box was locked. It was there. I did not know he was going to bring it to wherever we went. And we decided to go get some food and just kind of enjoy the night and just a celebration, because at the time, you know, school and everything, so we just wanted to enjoy ourselves.
So when you went to the bar and when you went, I'm assuming you went to a restaurant prior to this?
Yes.
Did you have any alcoholic beverages whatsoever that night?
No, I was a designated driver.
So you had zero?
Prior to going to Elmer's. At Elmer's, someone gave one of my other friends a pitcher, and I had a cup.
You had a cup?
I had a just
like, just one cup.
Okay. It was like a cup of beer.
Okay.
But I'd, it was a pretty big one. But
okay.
It's been like 3 years.
And how long ago, not how long, but in spatial time, how, from the last sip of alcohol to putting the firearm in your hand, how long was that about? Like, did a couple hours pass?
Was I don't think
like
it was a couple
10
hours.
Minutes? Like,
I don't think, it's probably
like
within.
Like, in the night?
With hour?
Okay.
Within the hour?
So about an hour, okay. And so, when you left the bar and retrieved your firearm, were you looking at the lone individual, the victim, off
so,
in the distance, or?
So I was called to Elmer's because I had a friend that was panicking because of their information that they told me about the other individual.
Yep.
So then when we got there, I didn't know that Rodriguez felt strongly against people like that because of prior past.
Okay.
So when he left, he was when we were leaving and they used my car, he was talking about the guy and he went up to him. Like, he was staring at him and talking and saying that he's gonna go up to him.
Okay.
So then I went with him, and during that situation, I'm actually the, I guess, quote unquote, voice of reason.
Okay.
Like, I'm the one to tell him that we should, not a good idea. Then kind of like escalated, but when I saw him pull out the firearm, I told him to stop, and then to like, just that we have to leave.
But before going over, you took your firearm, and where'd you put it?
It was on my waistband.
It was on your waistband. Prior to this interaction, though, with the other individual. So when the other individual's in front of, I believe it was Wings Over, wherever it was, where is that in relation to campus? Like, how far was it away from campus?
So I don't exactly know, like, campus line.
Okay.
So I know that if you went up the hill, you reached the parking garage.
Okay. So it's walking distance to campus.
Correct.
Okay.
But it was on the main road as well.
Okay. So when you were walking over to the victim, what was your intent? What was your reasoning? What was your thought process? What was going to happen? You knew that the other individual had a firearm at that point, correct or no?
Correct.
You knew
Rodriguez.
Yes. Rodriguez had a firearm, right?
Yes.
And how did you know he had a firearm at that point? Because you didn't know that he took it out with him that night.
He told me.
He told you,
correct.
Or did he show you?
He told me.
He told you.
He was like, "I have it on me."
Okay. And then you both voluntarily went over to the victim's location, right? What did you think?
No, he told me on the walk, while walking.
Oh, he told you on the walk, so you didn't know initially that that's the reason you guys were walking over there?
So he said that he wanted to go ahead and talk to the individual, and he said he wanted to ask a few questions.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, let me go just in case, you know.
Yeah.
Just, he was, didn't want him leaving by himself, so I went with him. We were waiting for my vehicle, so I walked with him.
Okay. And can you describe what happened over there?
When we got there, Rodriguez went up to the guy and was like, oh, so you like to assault women. Not in that word, but vulgarly.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the guy turned around, they started into a heated argument. They were going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Rodriguez went ahead and threw a punch. I also attacked the guy. But like as he was stepping forward.
Okay, so you also.
Like I don't know. I can't remember if it was a push, shove, punch. Like
okay,
it's everything happened so quickly.
Okay.
That I can't really recall.
So
much.
It just rapidly deteriorated. Happened. Okay.
But as soon as I saw the firearm, Rodriguez started chasing him down the street, and I was calling him to stop.
Okay.
To just stop everything.
Okay. And did the victim's hat fall off during this interaction?
Yes.
And who picked up the hat?
One of the other people.
One of the other people picked up the
but
hat.
But I got in trouble for it.
Okay. And why do you think they picked up the hat? I don't know. I'm just wondering. Trophy, take away evidence. I mean, it's a very. Those are two very different things, right? It's kind of the intent of, are we trying to hide what happened, or do I want to have a trophy to show everybody that we beat up this guy? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to understand it.
I have no reasoning.
Okay.
I know the person that they liked hats, but they got rid of it.
Okay.
I don't know.
So why, if someone believed that sexual assault occurred, especially on campus, Central Connecticut State University has a ton of resources, right? They have call lines, 211s out there. The police department, they have an on-campus police department. Why didn't anyone contact them about it as an appropriate, you know, alternative?
So after I was trying to have the female go ahead and step forward, mm-hmm. but she said she was scared because of mutual friend groups.
Okay. Since the incident, have you attended any safety courses? I saw that you said that you started therapy, and that's new to me today, which is good. That's excellent.
Yeah,
so when did you start therapy?
It's been going on for on and off, because finding a therapist is not the easiest.
No, especially one that you connect with.
So exactly. So it's been going on probably since 6 months after that situation.
So sustained. Do you have any records with you here today about, you know, their opinion on you having a firearm or?
I don't have anything on me just because
okay.
of when I got the letter in the mail to submit any records, I was actually on my way to Fort Dix, New Jersey for the
Deployment.
Holistic Health and Fitness Integrator course. So by the time I came back, which was Friday afternoon, I would have not had anything within 10 days prior.
Okay. Any medications, any diagnoses, anything like that that can give us insight or anything along those lines that might affect your ability to have a pistol in public?
I have nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
Okay. That's it for
That's
me.
It. Questions by the board? Dr. Iacinetti?
Yeah. So this happened in November of 21. That's about 2.5 years ago.
Correct.
Okay. On that night, when you got the gun out of the car and started walking toward the individual, why did you feel it necessary to bring a gun with you?
Because the people that were using my car didn't have a permit, and I wasn't going to leave my firearm with them.
So you didn't bring it for offensive, aggressive purposes against this other person? You did it as a safety precaution?
So I didn't want my firearm in the vehicle with them, and as I mentioned, I didn't know this was going to take place. The situation, like everything just escalated way too quick and way too fast.
And
no, I didn't grab it for.
And you put the gun in your waistband.
Correct.
I believe you told the police that you pulled your shirt tight across the.
No,
gun.
I said I had a tight shirt. Because when I go out, I like to wear like tighter upper clothing.
Mm-hmm.
So
but it was apparent you had a gun in your waistband because the shirt was tight over the gun. And you understand why if somebody sees someone approaching them with a gun obviously in their waistband, they can take that as a threat.
Correct.
You understand that?
I do.
Okay.
Can I recross one thing?
Sure.
Did you contact the police after this incident at all?
No.
Okay. And did you report it to any other alternative sources, whether it be a therapist or anybody else? Did you tell anybody about it?
I didn't talk to anyone about it. Me and Therese kind of just were going back and forth on everything going on. Everything just like happened really fast.
Okay.
And I think it was like a week after I got a phone call from the detective.
Okay. And would you have called him, do you think, in the future if he hadn't called you?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Other questions by the board, Colonel?
So at the time of the incident, you were a student at CCSU?
Correct.
And you were in the National Guard?
Correct.
And in your opening, you said, have you been promoted?
Yes.
To?
Sergeant.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure I got that down for the record. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I think that's all I had.
Other questions by the board?
Do you have any military ramifications for this incident, discipline, anything like that?
I was flagged for the time period to see what was going on until court was over. During that flag, I was given extra duties. So I had to come in earlier every day and talk to my commander, talk to my first sergeant. I did have to speak with behavioral health for multiple months. And they're the ones who kind of suggested I get a therapist, because we only get like five free times. And then after that, you gotta start paying. So start going through insurance. So I did get flagged, which made me ineligible for promotions, awards, or anything of that, or any military schoolings. So my career was pretty much on hold until everything had finished. But during that time period, I tried to build up my E4 evaluation as best as I can. So when the time did come to get unflagged, I was able to get promoted.
All right, how serious do you think the incident was? Where do you put it on a scale of 1 to 10?
I think scale 1 to 10, I put it at about an 8.5.
Say they put 8 to 10. What could have gone wrong?
A lot of things could have gone wrong. Someone could have got seriously hurt, or even worse, someone could have lost a life.
You could have been hurt, the victim could have been hurt, Rodriguez could have been hurt. You could be sitting in prison right now instead of sitting here before us.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, that's okay. I'm just trying to make sure you understand. It was only 2.5 years ago. I'm very impressed with your military career, but this was a very short time ago and very serious.
So, I do understand how serious and of it was. And like I mentioned before, since then, I have tried to make sure I have better understanding, better situation awareness, stronger mental readiness, and just being more self-aware. I've grown tremendously in the past 2.5 years. I have sergeant majors come up to me and ask for my assistance in certain things like a physical aspect. As I mentioned before, I do have like one of the few individuals that have a good knowledge and understanding of the cruiser weapons and different weapon systems. So I've taken upon myself to actually do as best as I can.
And the decision to have a pistol permit is not so much, it is about knowing certain weapon systems and how to operate the handgun, but it's more about decision making. And that's where you failed at this incident.
And that's why I've doing everything I can currently to try to make sure I have better decision making, better awareness.
And it does seem that you are. I just don't know if enough time has passed you. Just my opinion.
Just my opinion. You said all the charges, I can't remember the term you used, but you did actually take the accelerated rehabilitation program. That's how the charges were dismissed, correct?
Yes, but it was just a time period of not getting in trouble. I didn't have to meet with anyone.
Okay, there are no conditions of that? Any conditions regarding the AR?
I think the condition was no contact with the individual.
The victim.
And I believe, that was actually it.
What about no firearms?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And how long, if you recall, was the AR period?
18 months.
So a year and a half.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions?
Quick follow-up.
Yes.
When you got the gun from the car, going back to that again.
Yes.
When you got the gun from the car, you said you did it because there were other people in the car and you didn't want them to have access to the gun. Okay, where'd the gun start in the car? When you pulled the car up, where was the gun originally?
In the lockbox.
So why couldn't it have just stayed in the lockbox?
Because they had the keys.
They had the key?
Because they were using my vehicle to go to the store.
All right, thank you.
Other questions? Seeing none, sir, do you have any other witnesses?
I have no witnesses.
Okay. Would you like to make a brief closing statement?
I'll make a brief closing statement. So as you mentioned before, that the time frame doesn't seem like it's been long enough. But like as I mentioned before, I'm doing everything I can to make sure I'm more aware, more situated, make better decisions making, and I have tried to just focus on my career, not only in the military, but as well as civilian, as I mentioned before. I am working for the State of Connecticut Department of Transportation as the engineer, and in training, I apologize. So I am doing everything in my power I can to try to make sure I have better decision making and just taking everything in account to make sure like something like this doesn't happen again. I've cut off people that I feel like were not a good influence, so I surround myself with people that are like-minded and have goals and are goal-orientated.
Thank you. Council Cloven.
Just that I honestly believe that he's on the right track, right? Since the incident, I believe it was eye-opening, it was awakening, XYZ, he's on the right track. But has enough time passed? In my opinion, no. For this serious of an incident, what would have happened if the individual didn't run away at that point? He's got a gun in his face, another individual with a gun there, alcohol is involved, they're outside a bar. It was a recipe for disaster. I'm just happy we're here today and not somewhere else. Again, right track, but not enough time, especially for this serious of an incident. So.
Thank you. Brief factual.
It was actually Elmer's at 1 a.m.
Yes.
Make note of the location and the time. This is a revocation by the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. The revocation is for suitability. The base of the revocation incident occurred in November of 2021. The New Britain Police Department were called to Elmer's in New Britain on an assault. A follow-up investigation with the victim alleged that he was approached by two subjects and was assaulted. There was video of the victim leaving the bar, coming back with obvious injuries. The appellant was found on video at the location, seen retrieving a firearm from his vehicle and positively identified through vehicle and the military ID he presented to Elmer. At Elmer's, the detective spoke with the appellant. Him and another person approached the victim over a alleged assault that may or may not have occurred. Some type of confrontation ensued in which the appellant's friend drew a firearm, pointed at the victim's head, punched the victim. The appellant also testified today that he either punched or pushed the victim. The appellant also had a firearm tucked in his waistband at the time. The victim ran away, ran back to Elmer's, and the appellant and his friends left the bar. He was subsequently, due the investigation, subsequently arrested for looks like two charges, assault third and one other charge, in which were later dismissed after an 18-month AR period. At the time of the incident, the appellant only had his permit for approximately 6 months or so, less than a year. Since that time, the appellant has made and taken proactive measures and actions that we sometimes don't see in a lot of appellants. He has been promoted to Sergeant in the National Guard. Have you graduated from CCSU?
I'm graduating next year.
Yep, graduating. He's still at CSU, going to graduate next year. He has been hired by the Department of Transportation as an engineer. What's the term?
Transportation engineer trainee.
Trainee, that's correct. And he has won awards and other accommodations with the National Guard. He was very well spoken today and would commend his progress that he's made since that incident. Again, as the detective says, the issue for me is just the time period that since it occurred. But I just, as a comment, you made great strides and were very well spoken today.
Thank you.
Comments by the board?
Yeah, as a military veteran myself, I commend you for all your progress in the military. I think since this incident, your conduct's been exemplary, and I thank you for it, and I think that's very commendable. However, I go back to the incident itself, and that's not the kind of conduct that we expect of someone who has a pistol permit in the state of Connecticut. It was an aggressive action that could have devolved into something much worse. And so weighing that conduct to decide whether or not you should keep your pistol permit, I'm coming down on the side of no, not now.
Other comments? Seeing none. Chief Rosenzweig.
Issue authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Issue authority.
Colonel Overturf.
Issuing authority at this time.
Attorney Sinetti.
Issuing authority at this time.
Dr. Conrad.
Issuing authority at this time. I would just reiterate the comments of my colleague to my left. This young man has really turned his life around. I just would like to see some more time go by and a reapplication.
And I'm so on the fence. It's not going to make a difference, so I'll vote issuing authority at this time. 6-0 in favor of the issuing authority. Thank you all.
Just so you're aware, it's not a lifetime ban, right? You can reapply for a pistol permit in the future, is what they're saying, especially at this time, right? So you can reapply in the future, and I would take and utilize as much documentation as possible to show that you're suitable at that time, okay?
So how long would I have to wait?
There's no answer to that.
We can't give you that answer.
Yeah.
Stick with the military, get your military training, learn to be trusted with a firearm in the military, all those things would be helpful, but it's...
That is a recommendation from your therapist would be huge as well, especially suitability to carry a firearm in public, stuff like that, commanding officers, anything along those lines. I would have a whole litany of people to come in and basically be your witness at the early stages, okay?
Or provide written documentation.
You may not be here, you may be...
Or provide written documentation.
Oh, absolutely. Even provide written documentation. Anything along those lines is excellent.
This is another question, because I know since I have my military ID, I know like some military you can get like long guns and all that. No, or because I know
we don't offer legal advice.
So I'm going to give you an email. I'm going to give you an email for downstairs, and that's for Detective Bureau at SLFU, and they'll be able to point you in the right direction. Plus, there's a Connecticut Law Library, and if you look up the Connecticut Law Library and then go to the subsection of firearms, it's an amazing repository of information about firearms law in Connecticut.
Well, I know like since I'm exempt, I get exempt weapons without a pistol permit.
Yeah,
but I don't know if that plays.
We'll talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of good questions.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right, but you're going to want something in an email for when you move forward. Yeah. So I'm going to give you an email address so you can. Anyway.